Hi, Sim.
Hi. Are you doing anything fun this Labor Day weekend? We are posting this on Tuesday, so yeah. We should have been talking about what we did this Labor Day weekend, even though we're recording this in advance. But
oh, yeah, I had a blast. I took a quick trip to Rome.
Nice.
On
what
a
else?
Private jet.
Really?
Oh, it was amazing.
Did you watch anything on your phone while you were on the trip?
No, well, the jet has a video player.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I watched Home Alone 2.
And it was just you on the plane? You got the whole plane to yourself?
Yep, got the whole plane to myself, bopped into Rome, did a little shopping, ate some food. It was amazing.
And now you're back.
Saw the Trevi Fountain, now I'm back.
How much did this whole trip cost you? The Trevi Fountain. I love it.
You know, flipped a coin, made a wish. Wish that you weren't here. No,
if
I'm just
you
kidding.
Were able to do that, if you had that kind of money, and I'm guessing that you'd probably have to have in excess of $100 million in net worth to be able to do a trip like that all the time. Would you do that if you had that kind of money? Or do you think it's a complete waste of money?
No, I would donate it to all the causes I believe in, Sim.
I
no,
sort of
No, would you? I don't know.
Yeah, of course I would.
But for 3 days?
Maybe.
I mean, didn't like Tom Cruise do that with Katie Holmes or something on the first
I'm sure
date?
He did.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had this amazing courtship.
I feel like that would be a long first date. I mean, you're talking, you know, whatever, a 12-hour flight.
How much would you pay to be just sitting there?
To be the flight attendant?
Or the flight attendant, or just watching, or even listening. If they were recording their conversations or just watching Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes on their first date, fascinating. That'd be so fascinating.
It's just a long time for a first date. I mean, at some point, do you run out of conversation? I don't know. Is it like, okay, is it now? Is it okay if I turn on this movie?
How quickly before they got comfortable where they're like, all right, I'm going to put on a movie right now. And they just sat there comfortably in silence.
Maybe he had like a mariachi band or something fun on the plane. Maybe there
Are
was
Are you
like,
saying that because of the mariachi
like
band and Jerry
comic.
Maguire? It's something about Jerry Maguire and mariachi bands. Did
oh, really?
You make that connection that way?
I didn't. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it was back there deep in the shallow recesses of my gray matter.
Well, you continue to impress me, Anna.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Tim.
So last week, Kat Dennings, do you remember the call with Brittany from New York? She was conflicted about choosing between two women she is dating. And
oh,
she
right.
recently started
yes,
dating women.
Yes, yes.
She likes them both equally. She doesn't know who to choose at the risk of hurting their feelings. And you told her that whatever person makes her happier is the one that she should choose. And that prioritizing her own happiness is important as well. You also advised Brittany to be honest and gentle with both parties and that she might be able to tell who she should be with by the way they react to finding out about each other. And Kat added that when she's confused, she writes down her thoughts and reevaluates the situation before she makes any decision, and that maybe Brittany should take a break from both of them to figure it out. And Kat also reassured her that she's not a bad person and that she demonstrated a lot of empathy by worrying about the feelings of her significant others. And of course, you and I agreed, and we also noted that a lot of people don't think about who they're hurting, which is true.
Yeah.
So we received several emails from listeners. Jessica
from Did
we
give bad advice?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, listen, this is interesting. So we received a lot of emails from a bunch of listeners, like Jessica from Denver and Lauren from Vancouver, who felt that perhaps that we went a bit too easy on Brittany and that she needs to be more honest with the two women that she was involved with. So I'm going to read one letter. This is a letter from Meredith, and she's in Milwaukee, and I thought that she had an interesting perspective. Hey, hi, hello. I'm literally typing this as Sim is saying, we're going to get so much feedback on this. Fuck you, Sim. So I'm going to share some feedback. All right, Brittany, girl, you're going to be okay. My advice to you is to try to just be as yourself as possible. You're in the stage where you're trying to figure out what you're into and the kind of person you want to be. Like Kat said, you clearly don't want to be the kind of person that isn't being honest. Dating is hard because with women, we feel really comfortable very quickly. Sometimes that can lead to getting into something serious quickly, and sometimes that could lead to confusion between the people you're dating. It's totally okay to date more than one person, but the communication needs to be open and honest. Some people can handle it, and some people, me, get so anxious that they want to hide under a bed forever because the thought of hurting someone's feelings is unbearable. My advice to you is to walk away from both ladies. Be honest about what you're saying, but not so honest that you dig yourself into a hole. Let them know that things just got a bit out of hand, and since you're new here, you didn't exactly know what to do. If they know you, and trust the person that they've grown to care about, they'll forgive you. Maybe not right away, but eventually. I've been stuck in the middle of a situation much like this, and there was zero honesty involved, and I was heartbroken for a long time. Eventually, I got over it. I started dating again, got into a relationship that was way too serious, and I lost myself there for a while because I just wanted to be with someone. That eventually ended. I started dating again, and now I'm with my girlfriend, and I've literally never been happier. When we first started dating, we were both seeing other people for a while. Eventually, we both realized we just didn't want to date anyone else. One day, you're going to meet someone that is going to make you not want to date anyone else. You're going to talk to her about when you were first coming out and how this happened, and it won't be a big deal. Hell, who knows? Maybe you'll end up with one of those ladies in the long run. As crazy as it sounds, love finds a way. Sorry this is so long, and Sim and Amy, congratulations on the incoming kiddo. Super exciting. Best wishes, Meredith.
Thanks, Meredith. That's great advice.
I think so too, right?
Yeah.
But she's saying, you know, take a break from both of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of contrary to what you were saying. You're saying choose your favorite.
No, I think I thought, and you know, it's always, as you know, Sim, it's when we're talking to the callers, we always want to be really respectful because we don't understand, we don't know them.
We also don't know everything that's happening.
Right. So because I love our listeners and I love our callers, I want to always respect that they're giving us, you know, what they view as very truthful to themselves. But no, I do think that she could be questioning a lot of things in her life. And I thought Meredith's point about how some people have tendencies towards falling in love really quickly. I am one of those people because I crave intimacy. So that is also something to be reflective about.
And now here's Gerard Carmichael.
He's the best.
He is amazing.
I like it here.
Thanks.
It's very zen here.
Thanks. It's not in my mind, though.
Is it a lot of
my mind
noise
is
and
like
voices?
Racing? Yeah. Well, I'm an actor.
Do you think that the kind of troubled whatever feeling helps you have access to emotions better, or is it just turmoil that's?
I think that that's a heady question.
Oh my.
No. But I think that part of being like, I think that people assume that because you're an actor, you're an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
When really, I think that it's the release of a like an extreme introvert.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's all played out behind your eyes before the world ever sees
it. It's like I've been lonely most of my life and. And that's why I like bleach my hair blonde so people think that I'm friendly.
Is it by choice, the loneliness? Do you just like push away from social? Because I have a weird...
Oh, that's interesting. What do you like? Okay, wait. Yeah, tell me.
I have this weird thing where I have this... my friends, I love to an almost obsessive degree. And I genuinely love being around people. And I like noise and I like, you know, motion. And I like being surrounded by that sometimes. And when I'm in that, and I also kind of prefer to be Howard Hughes and just alone. And I'd spend a lot of time either with people and by choice, as much isolation as possible. It's this kind of dichotomy. So I guess I'm saying I love the idea and the concept of friends, but also I think I love being alone more. So I would choose that over.
Do you have a lot of friends?
I have really good friends. Like I have probably like, I don't know what the number is, but like,
were you like that growing up? Did you have like one or two friends?
I had the core group of people that
in
North Carolina. Yeah.
Where in North? My brother calls it North Kakalaki.
Oh, is your brother from the early 90s?
He went to UNC where he made us all be Tar Heel fans.
Oh really?
Yeah.
UNC has the, it's a very nice Martin Luther King Boulevard that runs through UNC Chapel Hill. It was shocking. MLK's really belong to who it belongs to, like in a way. And I went, it just didn't have the characteristics of all the other MLKs I'd been on. I went through Chapel Hill and someone said, like, you're on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And I was like, no, we're not. No, we're not. I didn't believe them.
Gerard?
Hi.
Gerard, did I say that right?
You said it right.
I sort of did.
Yeah, people say Jared. I never correct anybody.
I know, because I'm Anna, but not Anna.
And
I never correct anybody either. And
that was a good choice of either instead of either for Anna and Anna. Okay, sorry. Just had a really good rhythm. I'm Anna, not Anna. I don't correct people.
So wait, when did you move out here though?
10 years ago.
And your feeling so far?
It's cool. I like people. I've wanted to move to New York since even before moving out here, but you have friends and you want
to. But you're, okay, so sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't.
I totally did. Okay, so I've been watching, for the first time, I actually did some research because I'm fascinated by you. But so I've been watching a lot of your stand-up, and here's what I've noticed. You have a brilliantly slow cadence, and which is like calming and surprising, and sometimes jokes will slip under the audience because of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you'll say something that's so fucking brilliant, like the audience won't quite catch up to it yet.
Yeah. I rebel against the rhythm of stand-up comedy a lot. I don't really like the rhythm of stand-up. I think it's like real cheap and corny a lot of times. Being honest, I like the rhythm of speakers, and I probably listen to more traditional orators than I do traditional stand-up comedians, just because it's like, you know, I'm like, before going on stage, I'll listen to like recordings of like fireside chats or like just like I like speeches, like I like hearing that rhythm more than I like it's something kind of desperate about the need for your laughter.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel that desperation while on stage, so I don't enjoy the tempo.
I do, but how do you fight against it? I would like to learn from you.
I mean, you just say it. I mean, you just have confidence in the thought, I think.
Yeah, I don't. But
at all?
Not really.
But you got a whole like council of voices that could
Yeah, but I'm arrogant enough. Here's the thing. I'm fucking arrogant enough that I don't want to hear them. I'm like, I am a pleaser. I want people to like me. But at the same time, I don't want people to like correct me or like adjust me in any way.
Even if it's you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fucked up. That's why I don't have any friends.
I like that. No, I like that. I don't want people to correct me even if it's me. You rebel against even the voices in your own head. Wow. Dear God.
Yeah. I'm a keeper.
You're a rebel. You're the Arthur Fonzarelli of inner voices.
So wait, though, I have a lot of questions I want to ask you.
Oh.
So stand-ups traditionally, when we've had them on the show, mm-hmm. have been our most entertaining and for me the most fascinating.
Oh, you're not gonna
people.
Get that here.
But no, but here's the caveat. that they're like the trickiest to navigate. Because it is a solitary exercise, I think, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of inherent, like, kind of loneliness in the art form. Yeah.
Could you see yourself, you know, a massive movie star and still doing stand-up? Is stand-up like kind of a soothing addiction?
It uses two different parts of you and your brain. I mean, you look. There's a reason why traditionally. Not traditional. Why am I just saying the word traditionally a lot? It's a reason why you, when Jim Carrey, you know, becomes an actor, like truly an actor, he can't do stand up anymore. There hasn't been a, you know, no disrespect to anybody, but there hasn't been a good example of someone doing stand up full time and being a good actor. Like it just uses two different parts of your brain, like, and it pulls you in two different directions, because Dave Chappelle said this about just like kind of the access to information that stand up uses, and it's such a, you're using your brain so much and you're analyzing everything, and even just by nature of being on a set, and the awareness is so high of camera and just everybody in the room, you're very aware of as a stand-up comedian, because you're trained to have that awareness, and it's important and it's imperative for the job. But like as an actor, you get lost in, you know, what you're doing, and like you kind of get lost in like this role. And
yes, and to expand on, I think, a little bit on what you're saying, it's sort of like with stand-up, there is the necessity of reinvention of comedy, and when you're acting in front of a camera, it's like, how do I morph these words into something that's also inventive or like in creative, and that's a whole different challenge.
It's a different challenge. Yeah, You don't have to choose, but you should. You know, like, you don't have to choose between
the
two. Like,
what's the easiest way to make money?
Oh, stand up. It's a reason, like.
I should do stand up then?
Well, it's a reason.
Because I just want a lot of money.
Well, live performance is just like, you know, you can charge. There's not a lot of overhead for stand up. It's just you on stage with a mic and a stool. And so you're not paying a band and a. You know, most people don't invest in like a light show or something. So
I'll do your light show.
Would you?
I'm. who are your favorite stand-ups that influenced you or that you like or whatever? Any of those questions?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's again, I'm not just saying it just to say it is like speak. I'm probably as influenced by like the cadence of like my uncle who was like this minister as I am, you know, or
and he had like a stutter.
Have you heard Mussolini's rhythm? Okay.
No. give us a Mussolini. Rhythm.
I can't
come
do
on,
it. If I could do
on,
that,
on.
You think I'd be doing this?
Like, bad, if ciao, I had this. Bella.
But like I just like
Mi
rhythm.
Mussolini.
It's kind of like it's a rhythm thing. Like Louis Black, I could listen to even more than I just like laugh at him. I love his rhythm, you know, like stand up wise. I like the way he sounds. Your voice is really good too, by the way. I was
Thanks.
Listening just now. It's really, really good.
Thank
you have
you.
Really great diction.
Thank you. I try to be like soothing.
Yeah, it's very soothing.
Yeah, but you know, what's going on in here is like there's like 18 hamsters.
Yeah, but your voice is like,
around.
It's like a really, like an organic peppermint tea.
Oh. I like that as opposed to the strong gin and tonic that I just served.
This is really nice. This is a nice, yeah. Why would do you leave? Why would you leave here?
I do.
It's a lot
because
of light.
I have to like make money doing another job.
Oh, yeah, money. I forgot about that.
I know. Yeah, no, I'm on a show called Mom. Super sexy.
It's really great. You're really great.
Oh, thanks.
No, I enjoy the show. You know, we met once.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Uh-uh. But I do remember when you came in through the door and you were like, oh, it's so nice to see you. And
no,
I was like, oh, yeah.
I was gonna say it because people do that to me. It's a really unfair thing. I think everyone should reintroduce themselves unless we're like friends. Just tell me.
Okay.
Tell me your name. Don't make me play this game with you where we
secret.
Like it's,
yeah.
But we met once on at a dinner at a jewelry store.
What?
Yeah, this was years ago.
Wait. Okay. You have to tell me. Tell me this.
We sang songs and danced. It meant
oh,
a lot to
shit.
Me. Don't worry about it.
No. What the fuck? You have to tell me. Come on.
No, you remember.
No, take a sip. Take
oh,
a sip,
okay.
And
all
then
right.
Okay. Wait. Beverly Hills. That was a small sip. By the way.
Yeah, a little. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, the sun is shining in my face.
Okay, so wait. So we're in Beverly Hills. I'm being obnoxious.
No, you're very kind. And we sang some songs and it was a dinner at it was like the opening, I believe. do you remember?
Yes. Now it's coming back to me. It was on the west side of like, I want to say Beverly Drive.
Of Melrose. And it was, on the end near, APC and
what are we saying?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't remember. I remember singing. We had both.
I bet I was good though.
Everyone had their fair share of drinks. I don't remember the song.
That's always what you
want to
do
playing.
At a jewelry
yeah.
store yeah. opening.
You got to just get wasted at a jewelry store opening.
Okay, wait. I do want to ask you more about doing stand-up because I do. I try to wrap my head around that idea because I fell into comedy like unwillingly. Whatever. That's our sweet dear listeners are tired of hearing some of this shit. But
about
wait, okay.
you just falling into it, they don't want to.
Yeah, because I wasn't ever. I'm still not funny. I, like, and so it was a very odd experience to be in the world of comedy and in Hollywood, you know, there's a division between like drama and comedy, and that startled me, and I got thrown into comedy, and I'm not great at it because I feel a deep sincerity just in general about things, which I think makes people laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think expressing your thoughts as if it's the most important thing in the world to you is important. And yeah, in any speech.
But that's what I also love about your stand-up is that how opinionated you have, without being preachy at all, you have strong opinions. And I love, even though I think at one point you sort of deny that you're like, I don't like people with strong opinions, but you do. You have strong opinions.
You have strong opinions against your strong opinions. just be rebelling against even the concept of
strong opinions.
Yeah, I don't care. No, I don't. That was the place that.
But
I
you're
went,
an observer.
Like, yeah.
So
do you feel that way? Do you feel that you are?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm an observer, but I have really strong opinions about things. Like, I really like KFC.
How often do you go to KFC?
How often does my assistant go to KFC?
How often do you send your assistant on a run to the colonel?
I don't know. Well, listen. All right. We're in a tricky position here because I want to be kind as a boss.
Yes.
And the closest KFC is a little bit far away.
Yes.
So I'll Postmates.
Where's the nearest KFC to here? Like Malibu?
Yeah. No, no.
There was one in Malibu.
Yeah. I think that was the last time. That was last week. Yeah, we got the whole thing.
Really?
We got like the big bucket. We got the mashed potatoes. I got the biscuits. Oh, so good.
Do they don't have they don't have baked beans there anymore. And that was important to me as a child. I enjoyed KFC's baked beans, and then they got rid of them. If I could use my platform for anything, it would be to get baked beans back at KFC. I would also like to get Aaliyah's music on iTunes. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
And I would like for Dasani to not exist.
I love that.
I hate Dasani. And if there's anyone,
I hate Dasani too.
If there's anyone that could do anything about that, I plead
with
you.
It's us.
Because you're constant. Here's what sucks about Dasani. One, they add sodium, which
you. No.
And
okay, can I chime in here?
Why are you trying
to? This is all the fucking 9/11 shit, though, because of 9/11. Like, you can't go to the airport, and your only option is Dasani. And it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's the worst. Your only option is Dasani. I'm constantly on flights, or Fiji, which I like, but... Fiji, I can... Just don't add sodium to the... I'm not asking for much here. I don't think that's asking for a lot. It's like, hey, could you... Hey, Coca-Cola, could you deliberately not make this water shitty? You have to. I'd almost rather you not filter it than add sodium for taste, it says.
Yeah, no.
Will
you ask Sim Sarna right now if he's nervous because maybe Coca-Cola would one day be a sponsor?
You know, that was going through my mind the entire time.
Here's the thing. I was sponsored by Coca-Cola once before. I did this like web like commercial thing once, like years ago, and they were like, in the contracts, it's some type of exclusivity thing, and they're like, you know, we'll send you beverages or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, I'm, you know, Coke, I like Coca-Cola. They were like, we'll send you Dasani. And I was like, no. And I was like, I'll gladly pay for my own water just to keep that away from me. I don't want my family drinking this shit. I don't want to drink this shit. It would be rude if we sent Dasani to third world countries. That would be almost as bad as bombing them.
Okay, wait.
It's rude and disrespectful, and they should stop. It is a terrible, terrible product. But Coke is great.
Coke is great. Diet Coke is great. I love all of Coke products.
Yeah, everything.
They're amazing.
But
we love Coca-Cola.
But Dasani,
you know, if they ever want to sponsor us, we do love you, Coke.
But fuck Dasani. Really, I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Gerard?
Fuck Dasani. I'm getting angry thinking about it.
Gerard, quick question.
I'm going to sprinkle that throughout this so it can't be edited out. Fuck Dasani.
Fuck Dasani.
So what did your mom do? First of all, fuck Dasani.
First of all, it's also a weirdly exotic name for bottled water.
Yeah, I was thinking
it's like
that.
It gives you more promises
Dasani
than it delivers.
Yeah. Is that?
It's like there's too many vowels.
Maybe it's the theme because it sounds like the name of like an island girl. So maybe they're trying to also capture ocean water.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the theme. They're just like, oh, we have salt, so it's like
a place where women wear coconuts for bras.
What scientist at Coca-Cola drank water and was like, you know, this is missing. Like that just sounds like a level of evil that could only exist in a cartoon. I could only see that as like a plot of season 3 of Captain Planet. It's like we have to stop the man from adding salt to the water.
Here's the thing. We have to pretend that you're single. You can tell us if you are or not, but it's up to you, but you don't have to.
Okay.
But these are, would you date women in these professions?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. A masseuse.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a kind of an, I think everyone who's dating anyone should try and convince their partner to become a masseuse, even if just for them.
Okay.
If someone wants to like,
she makes
rub
a lot of house calls.
Head even, I'm all about that.
Okay, but she makes a lot of house calls.
Oh, you're saying like perspective of being jealous about like her just going.
I just want to know how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, I think I could handle that.
It's cool. All right.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I just got back from Jerry's place.
But Jerry's probably 69 years old.
It's just Jerry Bruckheimer. No, it's not.
Oh yeah, I'm completely cool with. I would probably like give her like scripts and treatments. Like, oh well, tell Jerry I have an idea for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Oh, you'd be great, by the way.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be in it. Idea for it. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not gonna do any more like, no more trains that have already left the station.
Like, you were offered Beverly Hills Cop 4, I think I think they did 4, right? No, they did
3. But yeah.
So you wouldn't take it if you were offered the lead?
No, God, no.
What?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I think Eddie should do it. I mean, if it's going to be in the lineage of it, then do it.
Eddie didn't want to do it.
Yeah, then
do
we
it?
Don't
they
do it.
They want to reboot it with a younger.
Like, well, what about with me?
Have you seen Home Alone 3? Have you seen it?
I probably don't remember it, no.
You turn on your television to watch Kevin McAllister get in a little bit of mischief, and then you see a kid who is not Macaulay Culkin, and you go, who the fuck is that? Why would they do this?
But they're doing it to every
movie. It feels like
someone
put salt in my water.
But they're doing it to every movie, so someone else will get the job.
I'm just going
to
take this as far as I can. Yeah, but they'll do it, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Would you write it?
Yeah.
You would write it? And yeah. Direct? Would you direct it?
Maybe. I mean, because the aesthetic of it was disrupted in the third one, so yeah, you could kind of reestablish in the fourth, so maybe.
I can't even fucking believe you.
What?
First of all, I would totally fucking do it.
but in fairness,
I'm about to like remodel this shit.
Yeah.
I gotta take the backsplash out.
You've been very clear about money throughout this about this.
I'm mad.
I do get that. Yeah, I've
already sold out. I've been here for 20 years.
Listen, I jumped into. I was in like Transformers 5, which was fun working with Michael Bay. I would never.
I know.
Do that
I did see some of your. You were great at press, by the way. You were like, it was so fun.
Oh, thanks.
I ran.
Oh, thanks. That's just because I genuinely don't give a fuck.
You were so good, though. I need to take lessons from you.
No, just don't. You're already don't. You're.
I know, but
that's what the genitalist is for.
Okay, wait.
Just internalize it. Let this be your spirit.
Oh, it is. It's feisty.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, flight attendant.
I don't think there's many professions that I would be like, I'm not dating.
She's gone a lot, though.
Yeah, that's good. We should miss each other. I think that's healthy. I think I'm going to say this about everyone. I think everyone who's in a relationship should ask their partner to become a flight attendant. You know, I think it's very healthy. I think so far on the list, everything has been great for relationships. Don't you miss missing people? I'm not on social media, and I have a friend who's always upset with me and just like, you're not on Instagram. Like, I posted this picture from vacation. I'm like, well, now you get to tell me about it. What do you think this is for? This is our Instagram. I don't need to see you when I'm not seeing you. I don't want to know what you're doing. surprise me.
Yeah.
Go be a flight attendant. You're out for whatever amount of time. Great. We'll come back with stories. You'll share. I'll share. Come back with a new adventure.
Don't
bring something to the table.
People bore you, right? All the time.
No, I don't think people bore me. I just think I get excited when people want to show their most interesting self.
All right. All right. So we're going to go on to a proctologist.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Wait, what's a proctologist again? That's the...
It sort of involves a little bit of anal.
Yeah, yeah, that's the...
Anal
exploration. Yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, wearing gloves is not like the...
Okay, but...
just raw dogging in the...
Wait.
raw dogging. Like, just finger, just strangers' assholes and then coming home. You want a sandwich? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Sim never cracks up like that.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I'm just picturing, I've never heard that before. Dogging assholes with your fingers.
Yeah, but imagine there's a professional version of like, I think I could handle that. I think, I mean, you know.
All right.
He's 3 for 3.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. With guys, oftentimes, they are more likely to be very willing of professions that I think women would explore more, and women would be a little bit more like, well, I don't know what would that entail. Like, I'm saying you're not inquisitive.
I'm inquisitive. I would prefer the job be interesting. I don't really care.
Okay. Whoa. Have you dated somebody that makes more money than you?
No, but I'm not like, I haven't been in any long term.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Wait, ever? What?
Never
what
really. Yeah, no.
Okay, but no, that was such a vague question. Okay, so wait, what do you mean by that when you say that?
I mean, exactly. I haven't had like a long term relationship.
What's the longest relationship you've had? I can see you like.
I don't know.
In your Converse
yeah,
there.
Yeah. I don't know how to. Yeah.
You don't have to. You don't.
They're not really relationships, I guess. Really,
they're sort of hookups.
Yeah. If we're being honest, it's like hookups with like movies and YouTube videos and
YouTube videos.
Fun, maybe dinner. You know.
Do you want to be in a relationship or no?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. I don't.
Why?
I don't know. It's just not something that I am excited to make time for.
Yeah.
Right now. And that can change like that, you know, just, I guess it's like by nature of what my day to day is like or whatever. And I just don't want to make time for it right now.
Is there somebody, you don't have to say anything about this really, but is there somebody that you miss? Do you have like lingering in the back of your head? Is there like, cause guys to me have this, idea of sort of like the one that got away.
Yeah.
And
no, let him go. Because all of it, because we're all dating who we're dating by nature of like circumstance. The whole like the concept of like soulmate and the one for me is great for cards and Instagram captions, but not a real thing by any stretch of the imagination. You are partnered with and find the person that by nature of circumstance you work near or live near or at a party with. And the fact that it happened once means that it could happen
a
countless amount of times.
You are sort of like the anti-romantic. Like,
no, but I think that's really romantic. I think that's very romantic.
I think it's very realistic.
It's realistic, but I think there's a lot of romance and realism in the sense of being open. And there is a chance that you can maybe fall in love at any point. And probably not, maybe.
Have you ever, you've never been in love?
Not in the, I've felt infatuation. I've been... you know, really enamored and intrigued by someone and like that type of stuff. I don't know. It's kind of a blurred line because I feel a similar way about everybody in a sense that like, I feel connected and it's kind of a 0 to 100 type of thing where a lot of even my best friends I've met and we were like almost instantly best friends. Kind of like an immediate thing. So like I'm open. Once I accept a person or a relationship, I've accepted them. And so living in that space of like, I really enjoy being around someone. I really love their company. I love them. You know, I don't love the dynamic or the concept or the restraints of a relationship, but I can love the person. Does that make sense? But I also just haven't made time for it.
But also, I bet that for you, and I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I bet that somebody who makes you laugh is probably one of the more attractive qualities.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet that's really hard. You're hard to make laugh.
No.
Yeah, you are.
I've been enjoying myself this whole time.
No. Yeah, but listen, that's because you make yourself laugh, which is the same quality that I have.
Yeah,
I crack myself up all the time.
Yeah,
I love it. It's so laughing. Obnoxious.
It's the best. You're just enjoying yourself. No, but I truly, and it's the same thing with friends, it's being able to trust someone with a thought is really important to me. Like trusting your filter. Does that make sense? Like bringing a problem or an idea or something to someone. It's someone that you're excited to hear their response or their take or their take on your thoughts. Like I never really need anyone to just listen to me. I want you to be
engaged.
I want you to interpret, you know, and engage. And like when you trust someone's interpretation of thoughts or ideas or problems, that's really important to me. Even more than making me laugh or whatever. It's that.
So as you're like crafting, what your stand-up does, and forgive me if I'm misinterpreting this, or you're an amazing storyteller and an observer at the same time. So
oh, thank you.
Your stand-up sort of goes through these cool like waves of, you'll be telling a story, but you don't like punch your punchline. You don't like land on it heavy because you're making the assumption that the audience is right there with you, which they are.
I kind of just stop once the thought ends, because like it's sometimes the inclination to just, you know, add on and just like ride this wave of like, you once you have them and they like this thought, like you can just add tags or whatever, if you will. But I usually just like to take the thought as far as I could take it, and then I was like, and it ends there.
What's it feel like to not land a joke well that you're proud of? I mean, I don't mean to say that as
I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today about some of the best jokes or thoughts are ones that initially just didn't work at all. Like I could trace back a lot of things that have been some of the more rewarding things I've said on stage that the first time I said it just got nothing. Just coldness in the room.
But did you still believe in it?
Yeah, you know when a thing is good. Yeah. You know, like you know when it's there. And the thing that stand up does that I think applies very well to a lot of other art forms, and but you have to do it in stand up is it's a trust exercise. It forces you to trust yourself and your instinct over anything else, over any other outlying like factor. And at its best, stand-up just builds that. It builds your confidence in, like, this thought. It's like, no, there's something there. You trust the sense of excitement that you get around a thought. You trust the eagerness to share it, and you just have to.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Is that because comedy at its best is commonality, being able to relate to something uncomfortable or something familiar or like, you know, whatever it is?
In a sense, I think its specificity to situation or philosophy. Meaning, if you're telling a story, the thing that will get a laugh in a story is like in the man in a purple shirt, right? The specificity of the shirt, and the same thing with like logic and philosophy. It's like the specificity of how you interpret the idea is what gets the laugh. Like, oh, I haven't heard anyone have this take on this topic. So I think more than commonality is like, oh, just hitting this really specific point is what people respond to and what they laugh at.
What I love, like a lot of stand-ups tend to, I'm not quite sure how to articulate this, but you do this wonderful blending where a lot of stand-ups will be like, women are like this, men are like this. And you don't tend to fall into those categories necessarily.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, you know, if those are the observations you make, then great. And maybe
you're like, yes, I do.
But it just seems a little false to me. You know, men, there are certain traits that you and whatever group
like
you are that like,
tell us. Who do you think women are?
Oh, I think women are. I think clearly more aware of how they feel and in tune with that, I think, the men, and that's a generalization, and there are women who are not at all, and there are men who are more than some women, but if I were to make a generalization, I think the women have a certain awareness and into things with a little bit more compassion and a bit more innately civil.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I remember when, because I have an older brother, and when I found out that I was going to be weaker physically
mm-hmm.
than him mm-hmm. for the rest of my life.
How old were you when you had this?
This was around 6.
Really?
Yeah. And huh. I was like, I don't believe in God. There's no God.
Really?
A God would not do this.
Did you,
a God that I'm supposed to believe in would not do this.
You felt powerless? Like, just like kind of?
I just felt like, why do I feel smarter than my 9-year-old brother
mm-hmm.
and yet weaker physically? Why couldn't this God that we're supposed to believe in made me dumb, really dumb, so dumb that I would be happy. I would just be like, oh yeah, okay, this is like, I'm grateful to be alive,
mm-hmm.
which I am.
Did you apply that feeling to women, or what did you feel specifically that about yourself, that you were weaker? Did you see your mom as being weaker than your dad?
No, because my mom's fiery and she's mm-hmm. strong. And she probably did this to me on
oh, really?
Some level. But no, I felt like it charged me through life, actually.
Did it push you in a direction of making you say, all right, well, I'm going to be smarter than everybody in the room. I'm going to be
strong. No, I just like laid low and I was like, I'm just waiting until I can get out, until my world gets bigger.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because I always, like, because that is a... It has to be hard. I mean, I can only think of it. Like that feeling of like, oh, well, I'm weaker and helpless. Think.
Yeah.
I have like 4 nieces and I'm always like concerned with their feeling of like their place in the world. Right. And just, you know, because we say these things of like you can do anything and you just want them to own it and to know it and to accept that truly. Right. And the biggest thing that I talk to them about, I mean, I don't know if this contributes, I don't know if it helps, but I just really always feel compelled to tell, like, especially my oldest niece, this is to, when whatever she wants, like, out of, like, life or professional life or whatever, well, like, a lot of girls will get, like, when they take, like, this initiative and they're very assertive, will get, like, the label of, like, bossy and, or not
right,
bossy,
right,
or whatever,
yeah,
or
yeah.
or whatever thing that someone tries to say to dismiss their ambition. It's, like, accept those things as compliments.
Yeah.
And move really, really strongly in the direction you want to go.
I have a gavel on set with mom.
Yeah?
Yeah. And when people are fucking around, I have a gavel. It's so fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start to pound it. I'll be like...
Just for quiet?
Places. Places. Places, everybody. Come on. Places now.
So you keep the gavel. It's not in your dressing room. This is like... On a utility no. belt.
Yeah.
You just like pull out.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Oh, yes.
That's fun. Even hearing the word gavel, the theme from Night Court starts playing in my head.
I wanted to go with, dun, dun, but that's Law and Order. I can't remember.
Come on.
No one needs to hear me do a terrible version of the Nightcore theme song.
I also don't even know if I'm confident enough to do the chords.
Okay, so wait. Have you ever dated someone who makes more money than you? Did we already ask about that? And also, I don't think you answered.
No, long term.
Yeah. All right. Because I think that a lot of celebrities that we've talked to are not fully comfortable with, sort of that flip-floppiness of...
Yeah, well, celebrity is hard. Celebrity relationships is hard. I mean, people can barely handle their own social media posts. The stress of representation to the outside world of your vacation to Miami is stressful, and people can barely handle that. You multiply that times a million with, with perception and maintaining that. And it makes it virtually impossible for celebrity relationships to.
But Gerard, that's why I started this thing.
For a
sense of control. Yeah. This is how I can sort of control my narrative to some degree. But also I wanted to talk to people about I wanted to interact with strangers without the heaviness of a celebrity interaction.
Yeah, it can be really heavy, and it comes with sometimes this unspoken set of rules of communication and engagement that's oftentimes a little false. It's difficult. It can be difficult to interact. Yeah, this does feel more natural than, the conversation we would have at some post Emmy party.
Yeah. Or we're backstage at Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And hey, oh my God, it's great to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. The kind of half focused interaction. Yeah.
Half focused. I like that. Okay. So, ideal girl. Should I not even ask you that? That feels like, is that low hanging fruit?
No, I mean, it's not. I don't know if I've composed it. Just depends.
Let's say she's a flight attendant.
Masseuse. Proctologist.
She's an amateur proctologist.
Oh, wow. Okay, that, and then we found
she
the one
does it
I
for fun.
Would not date. I would not date a recreational proctologist.
What? Oh my God, you totally would.
Yeah, no, there's
off
of the inevitable lawsuit. I'm not gonna do that.
No,
of your basement or treehouse practice of I'm fine.
Would you date an actress?
You're
open.
I've casually dated actresses that knew it was going nowhere. But we all knew it was going to go nowhere.
They didn't.
They knew.
They're mad. Here they come. We brought them all here. they're about to come through that front door.
That would be
yes,
fun. That would be a delightful. When I'm like, oh, you left your sweater. That's what I would say. I've been meaning to text you. You actually left your sweater.
You told me you were going to give me a line.
No, it's never under that pretense. That's definitely.
Oh, you don't make false promises?
No, you separate those two things. You know what I mean? You have to separate those.
How do you do that?
I mean, you can date actresses that aren't on the project that you're currently on. There's a lot of actresses. There's a lot of actors out in this world. It doesn't have to be on this set.
All right. So you're keeping...
Hot set just means don't touch the props. It doesn't mean date your fellow.
Okay. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, take a quick break and then we'll do calls.
Okay.
Go ahead, Laura. You can dial Jamie now. Jamie is in Illinois, and she is 23.
Hello?
Jamie?
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, it's Sim. Anna, say hi to Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
And Anna's going to introduce our special guest to you.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, we're here with Gerard Carmichael.
Hi.
How did I do?
You nailed it.
What do people usually say?
The people that can't say Gerard will say Jared. sometimes Gerard. They add an extra Gerard. R. It's like Gerard. Yeah.
I know, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Hi, Jamie. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Jamie, we're going to talk about your friends here and what's going on with them.
Yeah, so I have these two friends that I work with. We actually met through work. There's Mary and Chris. And in the beginning, we were really good friends, and we all kind of hung out and did stuff together. And then just recently, there was kind of a falling out with Chris, and he, like, there was, like, choice words spoken. And so Mary always wants to invite Chris wherever we go. Like, we'll go to lunch or go to dinner or end up doing something after work. And she's always like, oh, let me ask Chris if he wants anything. Let me ask Chris if he wants to go. And so she's always wanting to have him around. And since this falling out, I haven't really felt the best when I'm around them. Like, I kind of feel like an outsider, and like I can't speak my mind and I can't say what I want to say because I'm afraid of being like judged, I guess. So my question is basically like, how do I tell Mary that I don't want to hang out with Chris all the time without making her feel like she has to choose in between us two?
Oh boy, it feels like there's a lot to unpack here. It feels like a simple question with a lot to unpack.
Do you not want to hang out with Chris ever, or are you going through just a thing where you just don't want to be around Chris right now?
I'm not sure. We haven't really talked about the falling out. It was like kind of recent. So we haven't, I'm the kind of person that I have to talk about it, and he's not really, he kind of just puts everything behind him. So we haven't really talked about it. So it might just be a right now thing, but I'm not sure.
So are you guys all at the same level in terms of your, I don't know, the hierarchy?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, is anybody else, like, do you think that, I'm just wondering if, like, Chris or Mary or whatever, like, so it holds higher positions, or are you guys all at the same level?
I'm not sure for real, but it feels like they're on a different level than I am. Like, they live a couple blocks from each other, so they hang out all the time, and I live about 45 minutes away. So I don't get to hang out with them as much as, like, they hang out with each other.
Right. And would you, like the truth of truth, would you like to be included more?
Yeah, I feel like I would like to be included more, maybe after we were able to, like, talk about what happened.
Well,
was there something that really happened? Like, was there a crazy night where, like, things got a little bit weird?
No. So it was more of like he basically told Mary that I was, like, not doing my job right because we all work together. And so it kind of, like, our jobs don't affect each other at all, so he wouldn't know anything about my job. And so it was kind of just like a low blow that he didn't come to me about it and, like, didn't understand, like, why I did what I did the way that I did. I don't know if that makes sense.
Do you want to talk? Are you comfortable talking about that incident?
He was criticizing your job performance. Is that what was happening?
Yeah, pretty much.
And how does that affect you when he criticizes your job? Is he higher up than you? I think Anna's initial question was, when you guys work together?
No, he's not higher up than me. His sister just got hired to do the job. I got promoted and his sister got hired to do the job that I was doing. So I was training her, and he told me that I wasn't training her right and I wasn't doing it the right way. But, like, our jobs aren't intertwined at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know, like, what I have to be doing and, like, what our boss has told me to do. So he just doesn't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And he tried to tell me that I was doing it wrong.
The initial thing is, how do you talk to Mary about not want to hang out with Chris as much, right? And just being aware that it's kind of forcing yourself deeper into purgatory, like trying to handle that situation. It's really it's a band-aid on a tumor, because now it's this domino effect of, like, now Mary's weirded out because she can't hang out with you and Chris. She feels like she has to decide, and now she has some type of feeling toward you because you're forcing her to choose. And no one, it's just this domino effect, when really the core problem is that you didn't appreciate how, you know, Chris's criticisms. There's a problem there. It's something you're not talking about, so it's just lingering, and it's a cloud over both of your heads, and so it's just this unspoken thing. And until you diagnose, until you solve that, then there is no issue really with you and Mary. It's just you have to fix that. And look, the ability to deal with confrontation in like the adult way and like communicate. And it's the most important thing in your personal life and like your professional life, and your ability to say like to Chris, like, look, this conversation will only be as awkward as you allow it to be. There is something that we need to deal with and we need to talk, and I need to express how I feel and you need to express how you feel. And you either come to a resolution where you say, all right, we can now be friends, or we shouldn't be in a room together. And then you and Mary will work itself out as a result of that, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if you have romantic interests in anybody involved in this, which pulls the thread of another idea, but I don't know. I remember when I was 23, I was making my first, you know, the first scary movie. And I had this stunt coordinator that I was really angry with. And I went to our director and I complained. And he was like, you're going to have to figure this out for yourself. And I felt like completely hurt and betrayed. For me, like in hindsight, that was like sort of a shift. So I did. I was like, I went to the stunt coordinator. I said, like, here's my beef. And he was like, all right, let's like work on this. And he must have known ahead of time that I was coming because he was really kind. But no, I think that it's like all work negotiations are about savviness and all things. Like there will be days of heightened emotions, and then there will be days where everything like just passes. And how you sort of handle those elements says a lot about who you are. And if, you know, and if these people are making you feel bad, that's one thing. If these two are sort of getting closer and who knows what's going on between them, I think you sort of proceed forward without making too many waves. I wouldn't say like, Mary, I want to hang out with you because Chris is going to be around.
Wait, you don't think that she should address anything with Chris first?
I don't know. Do you?
I think that she should figure out why he has this thing with her. I think that they need to discuss it first and foremost and figure out if this can be resolved between the two of them first, so then that they can get back to being friends together, if that's what she really wants. I mean, who knows why Chris said those things to her? Who knows? And I don't think Jamie knows either.
Right. I would agree. I don't have any idea.
But just the idea of living in like, and a lot of my friends go through this kind of self-inflicted purgatory where it's all these problems that we don't like confrontation. No one enjoys confrontation. No one wants to come and confront because we're afraid that one will be accused of being too in our feelings or being irrational or whatever. But you feel how you feel, and you feel that way for a reason. And there is a cloud over your head in regards to that dynamic and that relationship. And if it's at work every day, then you're going into a situation, it makes work worse. It makes it more uncomfortable. So more uncomfortable for you. Really for you, it's like address it. Get rid of every cloud that you can. At least try. You know, it's on you to at least try to go into it with it when you're ready, with an open mind, with, you know, ready to hear Chris out and ready to express exactly how you feel, you know, making sure it's mutual, but get rid of the cloud. Like,
but what I wouldn't do is tell Mary that you don't want to hang out with Chris.
Well, it has nothing to do with Mary.
Right.
None of this
right.
really has
because
anything
Mary's
to do with
Mary. Mary's going to tell Chris,
yeah.
Like, oh, you know, Jamie didn't, like, she told me this. I think that you should tell Chris, like, hey, do we, like, get off to the wrong foot? I really, like hanging out with you guys, and I want to do, you know, whatever. I want to clear things up between us. I wouldn't circumnavigate the situation. If you want, I'll talk to Chris for you.
Examples of good opening lines to Chris. It doesn't have to be complicated. Really simple stuff. Hey, Chris, you know that shit you did at work? What's that about? Icebreaker. What was that about? You did a thing. I didn't like it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Jamie, do you feel like this is something you'd want to do? Do you feel comfortable talking to Chris about this?
Yeah, I think you guys hit it on the head, though. Like, I was just kind of worried about, like, being that person that had too many emotions, or was that coming at it the wrong way.
But that's,
you know,
what we talked about this earlier. It was like, yeah, what I was saying about my niece. Like, never apologize for how you feel. You feel that way. You feel this way. Something happened. You, even if it's in your head, get it out of your head just to make sure it's, you know, like expressive. Like, you don't, and it doesn't have to be confrontational. It, like, the confrontation can be very civil and very honest and very, you know, it can be sweet. And it's really going to be the cloud being gone. Even if you decide at the end of the conversation, hey, we shouldn't be around each other, that feels so much better.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
the idea of, like, not saying the thing, and, like, because it has to make being at work a little uncomfortable, seeing this person that you don't really want to see. Now you're avoiding them and you're avoiding interactions, and now you want some green tea and you can't go to the kitchen because Chris is in there. And now how are you going to get the peanut butter filled pretzels?
Yeah.
I don't know what's in offices anymore. I'm just like, it's all snacks from Trader Joe's.
And Jamie, I hope that, too, that, like, because what also sounds like an undercurrent here is that it feels like, you know, you live further away than everybody else. And so, it, like, the feeling of inclusion. But that's something to keep in mind, too, that not feeling a part of the group that these people are having what is perceived as fun or whatever without you. And that also stings.
All right, Jamie, how was that? Was that okay?
Jamie, I'm sorry, though.
Very good.
I'm sorry, though.
Well, let us know how it all
Please.
Shakes out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
best
sure.
of luck.
I love you, Jamie. Thank you so much for doing this.
I love you too, Anna. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. You, Jamie. Bye.
Bye.
We have one more call, guys.
That was a tough one.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That was tougher than I thought it would be.
That was tough because there's elements to the story that we didn't have time for,
right.
You know?
I mean, it's just like whatever. It is. I don't know. I'm very pro. I'm saying confrontation, but like it, very pro, like, just let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you right
you
now.
Know, yeah.
Like, any awkwardness,
but we have the
you want to get that.
Of
yeah.
that, though.
Yeah.
Don't you think we sort of have the luxury of that right now?
No, I think it's because I think it's important. It was important. I worked at a shoe store. Like, there was managers that made me uncomfortable. It was like, all right, I don't like the idea of dread, and I don't like the idea of, you know, driving to work and feeling that thing. And
so what'd you do?
Talk to them. Always talk to people. And it's like, you don't even have to be the best at communicating. Just set it up at the beginning of the conversation, like, look, I'm going to express to you how I feel.
And
this is my interpretation of something.
Power in that, because so many people don't do that.
Yeah. Express how you feel. Always express how you feel. Because work is hard enough. Like, whether you like your job or don't like your job, you don't need the added pressure of these awkward social exchanges that are debilitating.
Did you measure people in the little metal things? Like kids, you know.
Oh, the Brannick device? Yeah. I was, yeah. At my best, I was okay at actually guessing.
I want one of those. Really?
Yeah, I can't now.
Okay, what do I have?
Gone.
Come on,
I can't
come on,
even
come on,
now.
Come on.
But if I were to guess.
Yeah, what you got here?
You're really small. So I would say like you're like a women's 7.
So close.
Where?
6.5.
6.5,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
But very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to perch it up here for the rest
of
the show.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So that means you could wear, you could also wear a 5 in kids.
Really?
Yeah. In youth sizes.
Oh my God.
They run on
and
the
I'll
men's
get, like,
scale.
The liberty to behave like a child, like I always do. But if I'm in a.
All right, guys, we have one more call. We're going to call Jordan now. And
you're so good. That was great.
Jordan. Oh, no, thank you.
Jordan's
thank
in Michigan, and he's 22.
So, wait, are you a UNC fan? Are you a Tar Heel fan or not really?
I like the colors.
Light blue.
Light blue. That's a nice color. That's a great color. I have a hoodie that color I enjoy.
Hello?
Hi, Jordan. It's Sim. Jordan, are you there?
Jordan.
Hi, Sim.
Hi. Here's Anna.
It's Anna. Hi.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. Thanks so much for doing this. We are here with Gerard Carmichael, who's
Hi,
giving
Jordan.
Great advice.
He's actually really good at this. So I know he's going to really help you out with this part here. You are going through a situation. Tell us what's happening with you.
I'm excited.
Okay, so it's a little hard for me to explain, so I'm going to do it the best I can. I like to consider myself sort of outgoing. I took public speaking courses in college. I act, I write. So I'm really used to putting myself out there and talking to people. I have this unbridled confidence whenever I'm performing. And even when I'm auditioning, I think I'm very confident, can take being told no pretty well. The problem is that whenever I try to apply that confidence in my dating life, it completely disappears. I don't have an issue talking to women if I don't have any interest in them romantically, but it really just kind of bums me out that I can feel so confident when I'm doing what I think is putting myself out there, when I'm performing or talking in front of strangers, but I don't have the same confidence in my dating life. So I guess my question is, do you have any tips or how to maybe bring that confidence I have when I'm performing or speaking to when I'm trying to ask a girl for brunch or something?
Jordan, we were talking earlier about like the duality between how a lot of actors and sort of people in our profession are extroverts and introverts at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's easier on one hand to like, you know, to put on a character. It's easy for me to give advice, even though it might be terrible, but to not accept it. And, you know, there's the duality of what we do. So you know what? Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think this is like you guys need to take over.
Well,
this.
I mean, if you're not confident in something, it's usually because either you're not good at it or you don't really want to do it. Right. It's like you approach like I'm not confident in swimming because I don't know how to swim. So I stand at the edge of a pool and I don't really want to jump in because like I both don't know if I'm good at it and I don't know how to do it. And also another part of this is that those are two different types of confidence, like speaking to somebody that you want to date and what you do on stage are kind of coming from different places, like your expectation of what to get out of that should be different. Like with dating. I mean, the confidence that you have on stage could be seen as aggressive if applied in social settings. As a performer, I'm not bringing you me on stage, you know, in like a social interaction. That's a different thing. On stage is a presentation that I've prepared for that I've then, I'm now ready to present to a lot of people. And in an exchange, it's like, listen, this is something that I want. I'll present it to you as an option. I can accept yes or no, and then you kind of move on. It's just from slightly different places. Like, you know who you are, be confident in who you are, but like you don't need to perform for someone. You know, you don't need to go and like, you know, give them this show just to get them to go out with you. It's just
you're exactly right, Jordan. I think like the best practical advice is to ask women questions, as opposed to feeling the pressure to sell yourself. It's like, ask her, what are you studying? People want to always talk about themselves.
Say something like, what's your relationship with your dad like?
That's my pickup line.
It's just like, tell me what haven't you forgiven your father for?
Let's start there. That would be amazing.
I start conversations like that constantly. What else are we doing? What are we going to talk about? It's been humid in LA lately. What's that about? What are we doing?
Jordan, none of this advice we're going to give you is going to be working for you at all. None of this is useful. Okay. None of it is, because here's the thing. What Anna was telling you to do, about, you know, ask her questions about, what's your favorite fucking puppet?
I don't know.
Listen, we're not giving him tips on what to ask women here, okay? He's 22 years old. He's already way ahead of the game right now. Jordan, you're already way ahead of the game because you are an outgoing guy. You are in theater. This is all practice. Practice makes perfect. You need to put yourself in these situations. And with Tinder and all these other apps, you're going to be face to face with all these women. So if you crash and burn, this is like when Gerard does stand up. He wasn't a great stand up right from the beginning.
I was actually pretty good.
You actually were pretty good. All right.
Like first time was. Surprisingly great. But Jordan, maybe you won't be that.
Yeah.
For most people, if you're not Gerard, for most people, practice makes perfect. You need to be around going on as many dates as possible and just talk to them. Get to know, and every single woman is completely different. There's no roadmap.
If I may. So going back to what I was saying, if you have some type of reservation, maybe you should check your intention. Every exchange and every interaction has some type of intention attached to it, right? You want something from it. You're 22 years old. I don't know what type of person you are. Maybe you want a relationship. Maybe you just want to hook up. But knowing that, and that informs your approach.
Yeah.
That informs the honesty that you bring to the approach. At 22, it may be hard because maybe it is I don't know. Do I want to date you with the intention of what do I want from you? What do you want from the girls that you're approaching? And checking that, I think, really helps that first line of all right, well, it informs the sales pitch of you. What are you selling?
That's actually
what experience
really interesting.
Are you selling?
And also don't forget the people that that you may not have really seen. You know what I mean? That are in your life that you haven't really seen, that aren't maybe as flashy, but are of interest, that have common interests with you if you want a relationship.
But you
I
need
know.
To know. My brother gave me the best advice that I think applies to everything is as soon as you know your intentions, let it be known. Say it. When you know what you want, and that applies to interaction, to dating, to your professional life. When you know, that's what you're saying. You're saying your intention.
How forthright would you be with those intentions in the beginning? Because sometimes you might scare off someone if you're going to say, hey, all I want to do is sleep with you.
Did you scare someone off or did you just save yourself a lot of time?
Maybe. So you're actually, but most men don't have the balls to say, hey, all I want to do is hook up with you.
Well, don't be a creep about it. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a creep. But it is a very honest exchange of listen, this is what I'm looking for. I find you very attractive. This is what I want.
Right. No,
this
absolutely.
Is, if that aligns with what you're looking for,
know.
Then great.
I love a directness because I don't like a game.
Yeah.
Because women can see a game from a mile away.
I don't
away,
do the game for both of us. For me and you, I value my time. I respect yours. for all of us.
So maybe we're in different.
You know what I mean? Again, don't confuse that for aggression and don't confuse that for first of all, in a non-workplace environment, Jordan, it would be nice. if your intention is to hook up, making it clear. I've been rewarded for honesty, for that just being, direct. Again, don't be a fucking creep.
Jordan, I want to be your wingman.
Yeah, but
so
be honest. Be honest with what you want. I've been really. I don't know if you have or you have, but I've been really.
I
rewarded.
Wish I was. Honestly, I've wasted so many times because I just wasn't completely clear with my intention, or I'm trying to figure it out. I wanted to make it known with someone, and then at some point it just fizzles because
I've said to people, I don't know what I want from you. I just like your face.
And what was the response to that?
I don't know. I got
that's
a number.
That's good though.
I love that.
You know, I don't know. Even if you don't know your intent, let that be. Just the clarity of that is really refreshing.
Yes, but Jordan's in a slightly different place right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a slightly different place.
What do you mean?
I mean that Jordan, he's, he's younger and he hasn't probably. Jordan, have you had a long-term relationship?
I think my biggest thing too, and I, by the way, everything you guys are saying completely is resonating. I've thought a lot about this just on my own. I'm 22. I think I'm kind of an oddball in that I'm not really kind of looking to hook up with anybody. I'm really kind of just focused on getting my life started. And I've always had this idea of having the cookie cutter family, kids, nice big yard, house, all that good stuff. And that's kind of what I'm starting to look for now. So it might be a fear of rejection too, is another thing, which I always joke is I can take rejection personally, or professionally, but I can't take it personally.
But Jordan, hey, I know that there's a lot of societal pressure for everyone to check these things off the list, but it's not necessary. You know what I mean? Fine, if you want to go to Nepal and fucking climb K2. You should give yourself a little breathing room. There, really, you're young. We're all young until we die. I just came up with that. I just came up with that. Never mind, just right now.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were reading someone's tattoo. Yeah,
no, just right now. I was like, we're all young till we die. Yeah. It was really good. But but seriously, man, to like please, I know that we've all felt that pressure to like to get the shit checked off, and you don't need to. Just take your time and figure out like who you like as opposed to who likes you.
Just be authentic with every woman you meet. That's all. Just be authentic.
And
saves a lot of time.
Yeah. Eventually when, you know, listen, it doesn't happen for a while and you sound like an old soul. And so it's going to take a second for people to catch up to you.
Also, you could be married by next Wednesday. Right, like life just kind of
you'll
be in a place like if what you're looking for is that, if your intention is that you are looking for something like long term and substantial, those things, one, you can't rush, and it like you make it happen, or sometimes you don't even know where it came from. It's just practicing openness, and if you see someone that you want to communicate or like try and date or figure it out, like just again be honest immediately and like don't be a fucking creep.
don't forget to be inquisitive. Truly though, like be inquisitive. So many guys talk about themselves, and like girls, you know, we sit there and we like nod our heads and we smile, and it's like, okay, you're selling like whatever you're selling yourself as. Okay. I don't mean to sound like we're a collective, but asking questions like, you know, so what are you studying? What are you interested in? And it doesn't have to be like, you know, why are you wearing that bracelet? You know, like
thoughtful questions.
Yeah, like thoughtful questions. Somebody that you want to be with is going to really appreciate that.
Jordan, is this
Jordan,
good?
Jordan, I hope that please keep in touch.
Also, I get it, man. I get the fear of rejection, like, you know.
We all get it,
like,
man.
Just like that fear,
yes.
And we all make weird choices based off of that fear.
Oh, God.
And it's hard to get out of that.
I picked a couple of doozies back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And sometimes you end up in a relationship based off
the
of, like, the fear of...
Somebody who posts lyrics of...
Oh, wait, Rage Against the Machine. You've been in, like, some...
Yeah.
Rage...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've seen some shit.
Oh, yeah. You know it. Seattle.
Rage Against the Machine. Oh, man.
Seattle 1990.
Dear
oh,
God.
Yeah. Oh,
dear
yeah.
God. The heart
oh,
of
yeah.
grunge. How much flannel did you want?
Oh. But I wasn't even cool.
Really?
Oh, no. God, no. I wore headgear.
You know what's funny? Seattle 90s, that describes your aesthetic. That makes everything made sense now. Like the shorts and the t-shirt and the, like, yeah. Oh, okay, I get it. I get it now.
Let's say bye to Jordan. Jordan, thank you so much.
Hey, don't be creepy, bro.
Hey, and Jordan, please keep in touch.
Kill it, though.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Please keep in touch, okay?
Go out there. Get married. Get that white picket fence, bro.
Bye, Jordan.
Man's going to be in a Norman Rockwell painting by sunrise.
Gerard,
hi.
Thank you so much.
This was
really
a lot
fun.
Of fun.
You're
Gerard,
amazing.
Thank you.
No, I enjoyed
Drew
like,
Michael.
Talking.
Drew Michael, we need to plug that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it.
It came
no, listen,
out.
It was
Saturday.
This was. I watched it yesterday. This was fantastic. I was expecting like a stand up, like an actual stand up show with a crowd that's, you know, with an actual audience. But no, this was a completely different deal here. This is like an experiment.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah. We filmed a man in a room with no audience. I thought his thoughts were interesting. We tried to find a cool way to capture it, and I hope people like it.
And then with HBO, obviously, if HBO puts their stamp on something, especially with comedy, you know it's top notch. So, dear listeners, please watch this.
This is really fun. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you so much. I adore you. In fact, I want to tell you about a project that I want to pitch to you right now off of the microphones.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.